Even if your update is there's no change this week, that still creates a feeling of safety for people. Welcome to The Fearless Foodie, the podcast that gets honest about what it really takes to thrive in food and retail. I'm Amy Wilkinson, coach, speaker, and trusted partner to food industry teams with lived experience of the pace, pressure, and politics that come with the job. Fearless foodies cut through the fluff and get straight to what actually helps. And that's exactly what we're here to do. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to The Fearless Foodie. I'm Amy Wilkinson, and today's episode is all about helping you to stay calm and human when you are leading people through a big change, whether that's a restructure, a new merger, a takeover, shifts in teams, things changing. Because if you're somebody that's feeling the pressure of having to hold it together right now for everyone, this episode's for you. I've been through more restructures, leadership changes, and strategic transformations in food and retail than I care to count. So I'm not talking about this from the outside as like an academic, you know, models and this, that, and the other. I'm talking about it as somebody with lived experience who has sat in those meeting rooms where decisions, really difficult decisions, are made and were made before my team knew anything, and then been going home and lying there wide awake at 3 a.m. thinking, how can I support them? Because I can't tell them anything. How do I help everybody stay steady when I'm not feeling steady or safe myself? And how do I carry my part and be a good leader without breaking myself? So if you've ever been in a situation as a leader or just as somebody within a team that knows more than they can say to everybody else, especially during times of change, you'll know that there's like an intense emotional load that comes along with that. And now, as an external coach, I sit with lots of teams that are navigating similar uncertainty, and there is so much of it going on in the industry right now as we're speaking. So that's why I wanted to do this episode, because I see the same patterns in all the different businesses I work in. They might be symptomatic in different ways, but it's the same fears, the same drop in psychological safety, which I'll talk about a little bit more. But I also see the things that can make a huge difference, the human elements, the human tools that help teams to stay connected and grounded, even when it feels like the world is falling apart and is unsteady. So today I'm going to share with you some practical, emotionally intelligent tips and tricks on leading your team through big change. I said I'm not going to be talking like loads about models and stuff, but I'm a coach, right? We love a bit of psychology and a model. And there's a change model that is by a guy called William Bridges, and he talks about it as a transition. So change is external. So the things, like the circumstances that you are going through, are the external things that happen. But the transition that happens is inside people. And I think sometimes that gets missed. People are really good, and I think we're really good in this industry about thinking what might go wrong in processes and thinking about like the organizational chart, and even quite good at like communication and getting stuff out there, but not actually thinking about the human emotion that goes on underneath it all. So, you know, the new leadership team, the new organization chart, that's the change that's happening. But the transition that is going on for the people, that's the fear, the uncertainty, the second guessing, the stories we tell ourselves in our head. And the transition is where leaders often underestimate the emotional load for themselves and for their teams. Humans don't resist the change itself. What we do resist is that feeling of loss of control, loss of clarity, and that loss of connection. When you are restructuring, you're taking away people's work besties, or potentially, it can be a lot. And what happens physiologically is that when uncertainty hits, as humans, our nervous system goes into protection mode. So it's that fight, flight, or freeze, which I've talked about loads of times. And you might see that in your teams and your colleagues in things like people get like totally tunnel vision, like everything's fine, I'm just getting on with it. Or they might be a bit more reactive than usual, so like a bit more snappy. They might be quieter than usual. They might be overworking and working really hard to like prove themselves. Or it might show up in conflict being a little bit more uncomfortable than it usually is. Or It can also be what I call a bit kind of energetic withdrawal, like where people just pull back because it feels safer. So they're just like, I'm just going to go into self-protection mode. I'm going to freeze. I'm not going to do anything. And it means that, you know, things often become less productive. People aren't communicating as much. And if you've seen people that are normally really confident suddenly start to shrink in meetings and not say as much as they used to say, this is probably why. And also what I want to say is if you're a leader, you'll be feeling it too. So you can feel like, and I have coaching clients in senior leadership roles that are kind of saying things like, I'm playing three different roles here. I'm like the leader. I'm like a counselor to everybody around me. We've still got to get the day job done. And then like people are expecting me to be psychic because I don't have all of the information, but people kind of are looking to me to give them some certainty that I don't have. They kind of want me to be psychic. So lots of different roles. And I think it's important to remind you, if you are thinking, yeah, that is me and that is how I'm feeling, it's okay to be feeling a little bit like that. And it's okay to feel a bit vulnerable. And it isn't a weakness to feel that. And as Brené Brown would always talk about, I know I talk about her a lot, but I love a bit of Brené. You know, it's the uncertainty, the risk, the emotional exposure that does feel vulnerable. And one of the things that I mentioned right at the start is psychological safety, which is actually knowing that when people do their best thinking and when people are at their best is when they feel safe enough to speak up and speak honestly, and particularly in times of uncertainty. And creating psychological safety is not easy, but it isn't big dramatic gestures. I think sometimes people think of it as like some big thing, but if you think about it, and me and Lucy did an episode a while back on trust, and again, it's a Brené analogy about a marble jar being made up of little things. And so remembering to create psychological safety, it isn't about all the big things. It's about being honest about what you do know and what you don't know, or if there are things that you do know but you can't tell people, just be honest about that. But also name what you don't know, because I think it's important that people know that you're not holding back. Like, I honestly don't know the answer to that. Telling people when the next update's going to be, because that not knowing, you're giving them a little bit of certainty. And we don't know for now, but we will know in a week's time or 2 weeks' time. But also make it safe for people to ask questions, which means don't close them down when they're asking questions. Don't make it secretive behind closed doors and whispering. And during one restructuring period in my life in food manufacturing, the single most helpful thing one of my directors did was say, you will not be left second guessing. I'll update you, even if the update is there is no update and nothing has changed. And that sentence alone like really helped to keep me grounded, because you know that you are being told the most up-to-date piece of information. You know what's coming next. Now, when I work with teams going through change, we focus heavily on creating that psychological safety, not fluffy stuff, but like the practical stuff. So things like making sure that communications are predictable, people know when they're going to get the next update, they have regular touch points, they have permission to ask the stupid questions, and they have a leader who stays visible. Because as a leader, sometimes it can feel like, oh God, I don't know the answers, I'm just going to run away, I'm going to hide. Like, that's human to feel like that. But that isn't what your team need right now. They need somebody who's not going to disappear when it gets tough. That's what psychological safety is about. And admitting your own failures, admitting that you might feel a little bit wobbly as well. And I'm not saying have a full-on meltdown in the office. That's not helpful. You do still need to maintain that professionalism. You need to be seen as somebody who they can go to. You know, you don't want them to be scared of coming to you in case you burst into tears, but it is okay to say, yeah, I feel a bit wobbly about this too, because it gives people permission to do the same and to tell you how they're actually feeling. So that's the first bit that I think is really, really important, is about creating that psychological safety. But there is also power in getting an external voice in at these points. So during change, often people won't tell you the whole truth because they think there's a hidden agenda. And it's not necessarily because they're hiding things. It's because they're scared. They're scared of seeming negative. They don't want to seem disloyal, you know, if it's made them wobble and go and look for another job. And they don't want to look vulnerable because it's human to not want to look those things. So that's when things like external facilitated support can really help. So things like team coaching, where you help people to open up and talk about what's actually going on. Things like action learning sets, where people can come together and they can problem solve together. They can talk through things. Or one-to-one coaching, particularly for those that are in pivotal roles within the change or are having to hold a lot of emotional load somewhere for them to have an outlet to talk to somebody outside of the business, is, it can be invaluable. And I have recently supported a team through a lot of structural uncertainty. And straight away in the first session, they were kind of saying things like, I don't know where I fit anymore. Like, I'm scared. Like, they've got rid of all these people. How am I going to get all the workload done? I'm scared that I'm going to be next for the chop or I'm going to be judged if I say that I'm struggling and I can't do everything. And this was a team coaching situation. And the leader actually said, I had no idea that they felt like this. So that external support and having somebody external come in creates what I call a fearless space, a brave space where people can express what they can't necessarily say in the day to day to people that they are working with. And it helps leaders as well to have that information fed back to them and not feel like they need to be on the defensive or they need to come up with all the solutions. So sort of having somebody as a buffer between can be really, really helpful, particularly when the change is a massive, big change. And this is the sort of thing that I do with teams that are navigating change. Once, you know, the change is going through, starting to really help with creating some continuity, getting people to connect, particularly when you're merging two teams from different businesses. Like, mergers are, they're wobbly, you know, you're bringing two cultures together. So it's exactly the sort of work that I do to help everybody connect and get clarity together when everything feels shaky. All right, time to give a quick shout out to the people making this podcast happen. These are the brilliant sponsors backing bold, fearless conversations like this one. Let's hear from them. Ever chase a test result at 5:59 p.m. on a Friday? Yeah, we've been there too. That's why we're proud to be partnered with IFP Labs, a lab network that actually gets what it's like to work in food. They support businesses across Europe with accredited testing for food, feed, swabs, water, and more. And they do it with a quick turnaround, expert insight, and genuinely reliable service. IFP Labs is a laboratory network made up of companies who we know and trust because they're already supporting the people behind the products you love. Check them out at ifp-labs.com and breathe a little easier next time you've got a product launch riding on that test report. Want to build a high-performing team that doesn't shy away from the tough stuff? Our team coaching goes beyond away days. It creates the space for honest conversations, stronger collaboration, and shared accountability. Especially powerful for stretch teams who need to reset, refocus, and move forward together. Find out how it could work for your team at fearlessfoodies.co.uk. And we're back. Let's dive right in. But I also wanted to share with you, so I've talked about psychological safety. I've talked about, you know, creating spaces where people can talk, whether that is internally or with an external coach. But what I want to do now is give you three guiding principles that help you as a leader, as a human, working with other humans. It doesn't matter if you're not a leader in this situation, because we're all leaders and we lead ourselves and we support our colleagues. These principles are simple, but they're the backbone of how humans cope with uncertainty. So the first one is about being clear. So when people don't know what's happening, they fill in the gaps. It's something our brain does. We love a story. And I do this when I talk about it in storytelling workshops and presentation skills. Like, we remember things more as a story. But what also happens is that fight, flight or freeze bit of our brain rarely fills the gaps with positive version of the story. It will be catastrophizing. It will be coming up with all of the reasons that everything is going to go wrong. And that's a safety mechanism humans have, but it's not actually really helpful in times of change. So clarity sounds like here's what's true today. This is what I know. Here's what's still being decided. Here's when you'll hear next from me. And even if your update is there's no change this week, that still creates a feeling of safety for people because they will be making stuff up if they hear nothing. So making sure you have a clear and regular update, whether it's a real update or a no update. Be consistent is the next one. Our brains love repeating patterns. They love predictability and it calms our nervous system down because we're like, oh, that happened this time. It's going to happen again. I know where I'm at. So that means being consistent in your behaviors. So not being like one day I'm in this like really high hyper energy mood and then I'm really low. It's trying to be like turn up so people know who the person is that they're going to get each day. So being consistent in your behaviors, making sure you're consistent and regular in your communication, which I've labored that point a little bit. Avoiding dramatic, and I struggle with this as somebody who's got that yellow profile, who've done DISC, you'll know that kind of over dramatic and like, oh, it's the end of the world kind of tone or behavior, not helpful. So thinking about how you maintain calm so that you create that calm for the people around you because you create the environment for your team. Hold the team steady even when you are feeling wobbly. And one thing I think is really important for me to say at this point is when you are holding it together for everybody else, you need to make sure that you're doing things to help you outside of that situation. Where are you getting your release? Where are you calming your nervous system? Because if you're holding everybody else, and the parents out there will know what it's like when you're like holding all the emotions of your kid, and then you just kind of want to lose it yourself. Like, what are you going to do for you to help you maintain that calm and consistency by making sure that you've got a release somewhere outside of work? So being consistent and having those predictable rhythms helps people feel safe, helps people breathe again. And my third tip is being compassionate, remembering that we're all human. And it depends who I'm working with. Sometimes this is so apparently and abundantly clear to people that they take on so much. But to some people, it's just a job, it's just a task. If you're not naturally empathetic, it can be hard to always recognize that some of the behaviors that people are demonstrating are because they're feeling unsafe or just because they're human. So remember that humans don't resist change. They resist that feeling of being ignored, rushed, not told all of the information. So compassion looks like, yes, you tell them what you know or what you don't know, but then you ask them, how's that landing for you? It's okay if this feels hard, it's normal for you to feel a bit wobbly, and things like you don't need to have it all figured out today. And the leaders I remember most fondly from my days in food manufacturing weren't the ones that were the smartest at the strategy and, you know, leading from the front and all of that. It was the ones that made me feel seen. It was the ones that made space for me as the human underneath that job title. And I think it's really important for me to say at this point, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, that's a bit fluffy, compassion isn't about being fluffy. It's not about being soft on people. It's about remembering that compassion is connection. And compassion is something that helps to stabilize the team. So if you are someone that is really task focused, wants people to just get on with it and get on with the job, fine, that's your way. But actually adapting your style and recognizing that some people might need a little bit more compassion and handholding is going to get you to where you want to be. It's going to get, you know, the task done quicker. So recognizing that compassion is a tool in your toolkit, even if it doesn't come naturally to you. And before I close up the episode, I thought I should share with you things not to do during change. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of like, I need to be careful not to say anything that's going to give away any who I'm talking about. But teams and businesses that I have been in where there are big mistakes that leaders have made when they are going through change. And these, I'm going to stop laughing now because it's actually quite serious, but because they're the ones that genuinely damage trust. Because when you get through the other side of this change, whether people are still in the business, the people that are left You know, you don't want to have damaged all of that trust. You do still want people to be motivated and to do their job. So really thinking about that as part of your what not to do list. So here's five things not to do in during change. One is going silent, running away. I've definitely had people do this to me. Silence is not neutral. Silence is like, feels really loud to people. It is interpreted by other people as danger. Like I say, they will fill in the gaps. So don't think by saying nothing, you're playing it safe. You're actually making it really hard for people. The second one is don't pretend everything is normal, because people can smell that. You know, we've got spidey senses. We can sniff things a mile off. We know when secret squirrel conversations are going on in corridors. So yes, you might not be able to tell people things, but you can tell them that, you know, I will tell you what's going on as soon as I can, because that gives them reassurance. The third one is don't actually be over compassionate and over reassure people. Don't tell people everything will be fine, because it might not be. So if you can't guarantee it, don't say it, because then you will break trust with people. If you tell people everything's going to be fine and then the announcement comes out and they're like, that is not flipping fine, you've lost them. My fourth one of what not to do is not to punish people for being human and having emotions. It's okay if people have tears. It's okay if people are frustrated. It's okay if they are, you know, a bit scared, because they're human. They're human emotions. They're not problems. Now, yes, if it is dragging the rest of the team down, the effect it's having on other people, that's a different conversation. But don't tell people that they can't have that emotion. Maybe do things to help them manage it, or ask them to, you know, take themselves away or think about the effect it's having on other people. That's fine, but don't tell them that they can't have that emotion. There's nothing worse than somebody, you know, when someone's crying and people are like, oh, stop, and tissues and all of that. Like, tissues is fine, by the way, but it's a really hard skill to learn to just be present and let people cry. So if I'm in a one-to-one with somebody, and it happens quite a lot in coaching, if somebody cries, I'm not going to give them a hug unless they ask for one. I'm not going to tell them it's all going to be okay. I'm not going to do everything to stop them crying, because that's about my discomfort. But what I am going to do is just say, it's okay, let it out. I'm going to give them the tissues, and I'm going to give them the space and the time to let those tears come out. And remember that it's your discomfort in this situation. And actually, they will really thank you for being somebody that just let them get it out. And then my fifth one is about you. It's about not trying to carry everything alone. You're not meant to be an emotional container for 20, 30, 40, 50 people, however many people are in your team. Bring in support, get support for you, get support for the team. That's what leadership is about. And it's not a weakness to ask for help. So, quick recap. I know I've talked about a lot in there, but the three things for you to hold on to are that clarity helps calm people down. Consistency helps steady the ship, helps everybody feel like they know what's going on and when it's going to happen. And compassion strengthens the team and strengthens the behaviors and the outputs of those teams. It is not weak to show compassion. And remember, you don't have to do it alone. There's brilliant work that can happen through team coaching, action learning sets, one-to-one coaching to help you and your team feel supported and connected and hopeful through change. So if that is something that you and your team can do with, get in touch with me via Fearless Foodies website or through LinkedIn, because I would love to help you if I can. And in the meantime, be bold, be brave, be fearless. You've got this. That's a wrap on this episode of The Fearless Foodie. If it hit home, subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's ready for less fluff and more real talk. And if you're ready to build a bolder, braver, more brilliant team, come find me at fearlessfoodies.co.uk. Until next time, be bold, be brave, be fearless.